Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, we've got a new sponsor.
Hi, I'm Dewey Cheatham from Marginal Landscaping. And for almost 8 months, we've been building a reputation for nearly adequate work priced just above industry standard. Our secret is doing the job quickly without all the extra measures other companies take, which saves us money. If you are not satisfied or your landscaping needs repair, we will gladly come back to finish the job for the same low price we did the original work for. To contact us, go to our website at www.geocities.com/landscaping/24762.475136.27/marginal/24776213.html or call me on my mom's second line at 612-555-1234. That's 612-555-1234. Marginal Landscaping. We don't claim to be the best, and it shows. That number again is 612-555-1234. 612-555-1234. One more time, that's 612-555-1234.
Nothing but first class here at Wretched Radio. Let's check in with the world, shall we? It is always good to observe what's happening so that we can be wise as serpents. But if we only look at the news stories to glean what horrible things are happening today, look at this foolishness, that guy's stupid. I think we're only going to fill our souls with a lot of poison, and we're probably going to become cynical if we haven't already. So let's look at some of the stories that are big, that have implications for the church, specifically regarding soul winning. How might we use what is going on in the lives of most people to say, there's a better way? And I'm not talking about Libby Glosson's new podcast, which will be out in February. That's the better way. We can tell people, hey, if you're feeling like this, there is a better way. And it is God's way, and it is good, and it is always right. Everything that God ordains is good. All of the rules that he has written for humanity are not burdensome. They're for our best. God's rules shouldn't be seen as, he's just taking all the fun out of everything. No, he's not. He's giving us something more transcendent. He is giving us something called joy and peace and shalom, where our soul is settled. It's good. It is a good thing. Talked about this, sorry for bringing up Sunday sermon, but doing the transitive math property as applied to theology. God is thrilled. He's totally happy. He's perfectly content and settled. If you want the ideal for what your emotion should look like, for what your decision-making should look like, look at God. And when we mirror him, when we go about the business of trying to be like him, then guess what happens? We become like him as we stare at Jesus with unveiled face. We are changed from one level of glory to another. And guess what the fruit is? We will be happy. And that should help you in your battle against sin. If you've got a besetting sin, whatever it happens to be, and you're tired and you don't really seem to have a lot of gas in your tank to fight it, this is it. Understanding that when God says no, it isn't because he just wants to be a bummer. It's because it's the best thing for you. Think of that, because your flesh is going to say, no. What I want to do, that's the best thing for me. And God says, no, I happen to know better, which kind of the understatement of the millennium. And when he says no, the fruit of being obedient to that is you will be shalom, because that's the way you're supposed to be. It's the effect of the fall. It has damaged everything in our noodles. It has affected our entire person. It's our emotions, our will, our feelings, how we respond. how we communicate, all of it is just janky. And the process of sanctification is unjankifying your brain. That's right. You go ahead and Google that. I think D.A. Carson maybe coined that term. By the way, speaking of D.A. Carson, I've got that somewhere here. I believe that he is now stepping down from ministry because I want to say Parkinson's is what he is struggling with. He's 78 years old. I found it right here. He's 78 years old. Now, if I can find my glasses, which is always a challenge because I don't have my glasses on, and how should I be expected to find my glasses when I don't have my glasses? 21st century probs. D.A. Carson retires. Yep, battle with Parkinson's. He is a prolific theologian. This fellow is an emeritus professor of New Testament at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. That'd be your TEDS. Written or edited over 60 books on theology, biblical studies, Christian living. And this is an announcement that says, I have to step back. He wrote a letter at Christmas time saying the physical limitations slow him down. The cognitive limitations constitute a more serious impediment. A few weeks ago, he wrote, for several minutes, I tried to convince my neurologist that we're living in 2008. Couldn't remember the name of the first president of the United States. I thought of offering to provide the name of the first prime minister of Canada, which I could remember, but I doubt the neurologist would have been impressed. Apparently maintaining his sense of humor, he is known to say, I'm not suffering from anything that a good general resurrection can't fix. We're praying for D.A. Carson and his family. He's served faithfully. Without scandal, he's 78. And he, I believe, don't want to speak for him, would affirm what I'm saying about being obedient. When you deny yourself, oh, I want to do that. I want to have that shot of tequila or whatever your thing is. And it says, it's actually good for you because it's going to calm your nerves. It's been a long day. Those are lies. God says, let's get rid of the tequila. Jose, say adios, because it's not best for you. And that also has to do, by the way, with pornography. Your body wants to partake, and it is a powerful, it's a loud voice shouting at you. Know that. Denying yourself, because God says, no, you don't put your eyes on that stuff. Because it's bad for you, and I want better for you. And as we submit to him, he's rewiring, he's de-jankifying our brain, to use D.A. Carson's term. And he's helping us to think rightly like him. And the more we think like him, the happier we are going to be. That is why we should be obedient. And I think there's three ways that you can view obedience. You can look back, you can look present, and you can look future. Meaning, you look back and you see what Jesus has done for you. You look back and see what he accomplished for you on the cross. You look back and understand when he rose from the dead, my eternity was sealed in him because he made the payment. The resurrection is the receipt. I am good to go. And that should give you some strength to battle sin. Shouldn't it? But you can also look at present. Are you breathing? Being good to you. Are you alive? Being good to you. You've got some stuff, maybe not as much stuff as you want, but you got some stuff. Being good to you. Furthermore, he keeps you saved. And that should give you power. And that should give you the strength to deny yourself, to pick up your cross and follow him. But I also think you can look forward. You can look forward to understand this obedience that is so difficult for me is going to be rewarded by God. And as you ponder past, present, and future goodness of God in Christ Jesus, you're going to find yourself wanting to deny the desire of your heart and go with his program. That should encourage us. And I think then, we can bring that to our understanding of what is happening in the world. Their brains are broken. They're jankified. And they just, they don't understand. So what do? We try to help them understand. And I think understanding what they're dealing with will help us to approach them. When it comes to evangelism, almost everybody, myself included, I used to struggle with this. I don't anymore, but because I've just done it enough times to understand you really don't need to be clever when it comes to segues. You just don't. To get from the natural to the spiritual, you can just plop it out. And nobody ever goes, hey, wait a second. We were talking about the Minnesota Vikings losing again. Wow. 14-3. Come on, postseason Vikings, get your act together. And then suddenly you're talking about Jesus. Nobody's ever gone, that was a switcheroo. Having said that, if I can understand the heart of the person that I'm talking to, what life is like currently, and how they are experiencing the effects of sin, then I can talk to them in a way that causes them to see, hey, wait a second. You mean Christianity isn't just about being a drag when it comes to partying? You mean it offers me something like shalom and peace and joy? That is why we study the world, which we'll do next on Wretched Radio.
What good is having a bank account with millions of dollars if you never use it? Well, the same is true with theology. Having Bible knowledge without applying it to your life is like having wealth you never spend. That's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Kreitz.
Every single person in the church is a ministry opportunity. You don't have to have a job to be engaging in ministry. You just have to have a heart to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the church. Stir them up and encourage them.
Stop letting powerful biblical truths sit idle in your mind. Let Dr. John Kreitz show you how to integrate God's Word into every area of your life. Integrated, a new production from Fortis Institute. It's available now on Fortis Plus and all major podcast platforms. It's produced by Fortis Institute, and you can learn more about Dr. John Kreitz and Integrated at fortisinstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke, or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's Word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org, or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. fortisplus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. true peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What in the world is going on? This is Wretched Radio. A good question to ask when we read the news is, what does this indicate? What is in the heart and mind of individuals who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? And how might I use this information to show them how great God is? We're going to be releasing a video pretty soon, I think, that dives deeper into our gospel presentations. And believe me, I've been guilty of this too, but I don't want to be guilty of it anymore. We should be presenting the law and the gospel that people can understand: Jesus Christ dying on a cross, forgiveness of sins, resurrection from the dead. They can't get it unless they've been convicted by the law. The seed, it will not go to soil if the soil isn't tilled up. And that is what the law does. It tills up the stony heart to receive the word of the gospel. So we're going to keep doing that. But I think, and I wouldn't make it a law, but I think, and maybe especially in this era, but perhaps every generation would enjoy hearing that justification, being made right with God, is a means to an end. There's something more beyond that, and that is being in a right relationship with God Himself, who desires a relationship with human beings. And I think we need to remember that justification, it goes beyond a legal declaration into a relational arrangement where we are ushered into the presence of God, introduced to Him courtesy of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can know Him, be known by Him, and be in a relationship with God. That's amazing news. And I'm going to try to incorporate that if possible. Because I think right now the world, they're drained. A sign that a nation is unhappy is the birth rate. When you see that we are producing fewer babies than we used to, when you see that we are not even replacing ourselves with the number of children that we're making, that is a sign that we've got an unhappy country. And we know that, don't we? Depression, anxiety, the psychotropics. Then how's about the suicide rate? Suicide, I think it's in like the top five reasons that the causes of death. Suicide? Now that means the world is aching and we don't adjust the gospel. Oh, you've got an aching heart. Well, Jesus will mend it. Well, no, that's not the gospel. That's a fruit of the gospel, but that's not the gospel. But knowing that people are hurting, doesn't that perhaps alter the way that we present the gospel? I don't mean we change the gospel, but to show, look at how good God is. Look at how good God is. Look at how amazing He is. You've got something to live for. You've got someone to live for. God has you here because He wants you here. This was an article from SDR, Suicide, When Hope Runs Out. Roughly twice as many people die by suicide than are murdered every year in this country. Whoa. Do you know that 131 people take their lives every day in America? 131 people. And they represent far more than that. 131 every single day. So in the hour this program drones on, that means five people will have taken their lives in this hour, one every 11 minutes. It's the second largest, oh, here's the statistic. It's the second largest cause of death among 10 to 34-year-olds. Man, come on, don't we have enough scientific evidence to go, okay, why that demographic? They're the ones, what's unique about them? And there's two words that come to mind, cell and phone. Suicide rates have climbed 36% in the last 20 years. 13.6% of 18 to 25-year-olds have contemplated ending their lives. This is not good. 57% of high school females reporting feeling persistently sad or hopeless. Does Christianity have anything to offer the sad and the hopeless? It's the only thing that can offer something for people who are sad and hopeless. It's the only thing. Everything else is a band-aid. The numbers are just soaring here. 24%, these are kids, actually made a suicide plan in 2021. I'll bet it's gone up. A quarter of the kids. Think about your youth group, especially if you're a youth pastor. Think about it. Quarter of them. They made plans. Do you think the other ones are at least have had thoughts run through their mind? Let's get serious, youth groups. Let's get serious. The kids need it. They need no more pizza. As much as I love the barbecue chicken pizza down the street, it is not going to bring them hope or joy. It is not going to remove suicidal thoughts. There's only one thing that will. It's time for us to get sober-minded when it comes to youth ministry. When was the last time, this is STR, probably Greg Kokel, when was the last time you heard suicide addressed in your church? I think we better start. I don't know that you want to cram it in where it doesn't belong just to check a box, but looking out over your congregation, pastor, you should know that there are people as shiny as they look on Sunday morning. They're having these thoughts. People contemplating suicide feel boxed in. They've run out of options. Death seems like the only respite. It's just a break from this the incessant heaviness that weighs on them. At the center of suicidal ideation is a loss of hope. We have a message for the world, don't we? By the way, related statistic, Washington, D.C. has the highest share of single mom households in America. Actually, this is very related because there's statistics all over the place. We're not having kids. We're not getting married. Does the church have a word for that? I'm telling you, feminism, they scream, and the church whispers on this subject. I would ask this too. Now, if your pastor hasn't spoken about suicide, it could be because he simply wasn't aware, hadn't thought about it, or the text didn't lend itself. But if you're preaching the gospel, that should lend itself to talking about these issues. So don't jump all over your pastor. You maybe can lovingly encourage or remind him, but don't jump all over him to be talking about these things because a jabbering talk show host brought it up. But having said that, when was the last time you heard a sermon on the joys of marriage? How great it is to be in a one flesh union. How deep and profound it is. And how wonderful it is. And there ain't nothing like it on this planet relationally that goes any deeper than that. What about kids? Having kids, people are scared to have kids these days. Understandably so. This might help you if you're a bit older like Jimmy. Do you remember having to hide underneath your desk to save yourself from nuclear fallout when the Russians dropped the bomb? Do you remember that? All right. That was there regularly. What was happening with the Soviet Union, it wasn't Russia then, it was the Soviet Union. They were aggressive. They were taking over parts of Eastern Europe. They were invading countries and they had nuclear missiles and we knew it. And so in school, you had to train, okay, kids, if the siren goes off because a missile is heading in from the Soviet Union, get underneath your desk. Let's practice now. Okay. Now, did it debilitate anybody? I don't know, but it certainly does weigh there, doesn't it? I think that there's a lot of nuclear bombs weighing on young people these days. When it comes to the things that you and I used to find delightful, marriage and parenthood is under us. It's just parenting. Are you kidding me? Parenting in this economy with global warming? You can't afford a house now. Wait until you have a kid. You won't be able to afford Similac. Daycare, we don't have daycare. Which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But the point is, they scare them. And they're living underneath that. So I think this might be the conclusion of the matter. Two conclusions. Number one, have everybody you know listen to Brad Bidney's podcast on marriage and parenting. It's Thrive. It's available to Fortis Plus. And by the way, you will not get a better podcast than that. All of these guys, I'm just telling you, they are all A level, triple A level. And Brad Bigney does a bang up job on marriage and parenting. But second, how's about if we Christians start talking about our faith in a more hopeful way, in a positive way? Not just in a you're wrong way. We do say that. Not saying we don't say that. You're lost without Jesus Christ. We say that, but we speak more hopefully. Here's the good news. You can be spared from the wrath that is to come. Wait. More than that. All of your thinking, God's going to go to work on it. Your emotions, you know, your loneliness. He's got a program and a plan to help you with those things. And maybe the moral to this story is let's recognize what's going on in the world. It is hopeless, and we alone have the message of hope. Let's present our faith that way. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A Parisian theater learned the hard way that virtue signaling comes with a price tag. After hosting a refugee welcome event, the theater found itself occupied by 300 migrants who simply refused to leave. Now facing bankruptcy from months of canceled shows, the venue discovers that progressive idealism doesn't pay bills or cleanup costs. Walgreens continues its exodus from San Francisco, announcing 12 more store closures next month as shoplifting turns pharmacy visits into contact sports. The chain joins the growing list of businesses discovering that operating in a city without law enforcement is an unsustainable business model. Tennessee's House Republicans delivered a unanimous message to NCAA President Charlie Baker: stop sacrificing women's sports on the altar of gender ideology. All 75 members signed a letter highlighting the physical dangers, lost opportunities, and violated privacy rights that come with allowing males into female competition. Speaking of which, the U.S. House passed a Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act with support from precisely two Democrats. Both are representatives from Texas. While 206 of their colleagues insisted protecting women's sports promotes bigotry, these lone voices remembered that biology is not partisan. Apple's board rushed to defend its DEI empire against shareholder attempts to end racial and gender quotas. While other tech giants are dismantling their diversity bureaucracies, Apple insists these programs are essential to operations, though they can't quite explain how engineering depends upon counting color. Global Christian Relief's new persecution report reveals what media won't cover. Nigeria leads the world in Christian martyrdom with 9,814 believers murdered in the last 2 years. And China tops Christian-related arrests. As we tell you so frequently, please make sure you're continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed a Parents' Bill of Rights ensuring schools can't hide gender confusion from families. Progressive groups immediately labeled it the Unsafe Students Act, revealing their belief that parents are the real threat to their own children. And Senate Majority Leader John Thune announced a vote on protecting babies who survive abortion attempts, timing it with the March for Life. The Born Alive Act would require medical care for infants who inconveniently survive procedures meant to end their existence. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, my word!
Indeed, this is Wretched Radio. What a world we live in. Let me take you to the Supreme Court. Granted, this is slightly dated, but we don't have the results of the Supreme Court case to determine who's going to win in this little battle. Will it be the individuals who believe that they're a different gender than the way they present? Or will Christians be able to say, sorry, don't agree with that? Your psychology cannot trump your biology. Justice Alito, this is so worth listening to. Justice Alito, he's talking to the lawyer who's presenting and defending the transgender side. And it's just, it's so easy to dismantle this progressively confused, detached from truth worldview.
Does transgender status apply to individuals who are gender fluid?
I think that the distinguishing characteristic is to have a birth sex that does not align with, or a gender that does not align with one's birth sex. So
what she just said is, if you think you're this, then you're this. Should you change your mind and think you're that, then you're that.
It may include people who have different understandings of their gender identity, but I think it is still the distinguishing characteristic of a birth sex and a gender identity that are incongruent.
Are there individuals who are born male, assigned male at birth, who at one point identify as female, but then later come to identify as male, and likewise for individuals who are assigned female at birth, at some point identify as male, but later come to identify as female? Are there not such people?
There are such people. I agree with that, Justin.
So it's not an immutable characteristic.
Well, I think people's understanding of it shifts, but the evidence shows that there is at least a strong underlying basis. And I think the normative reason for that particular consideration is whether or not this is something that someone should or could change, and whether they should have to change it in order to receive constitutional protections. And I think transgender status squarely fits within that.
In other words, psychology trumps biology. Evidence? I'm sorry. Did you use a scientific term? Evidence? What sort of evidence would demonstrate that a desk is a desk? Well, it has legs and a top and it's got drawers. But I identify it as a pink elephant. Well, then I guess it's a pink elephant because you said so. It is utterly detached from reality. And yet, this shouldn't be surprising to us. This has been the history of Western civilization's thought about values, morality, reality, truth, and self. Carl Truman, in the two books, The Rise and Fall is the longer version. Strange New World is the shorter version. Tracking the history of thought in Western civilization, starting really with Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who for the first time in history decided, let's maybe not look outside of ourselves for what is right, but let's look inside of ourselves. Well, that's different. And that continued to flourish under a number of individuals and movements, the Romantic movements. Oscar Wilde contributed to that. Nietzsche, Marx, Freud, and then, of course, postmodernism out of Paris that said truth is not knowable. Your truth is your truth. And now we live in the era where self rules. In fact, I think I preached on this on Sunday. I think that's getting kind of tragic. I can't remember what came out of the pulpit on Sunday. The Burger King. Burger King captures the zeitgeist that you and I dwell in right now. You rule. It used to be, have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. That trend, that's morphed now into you rule, because that's the modern mindset. Me, that's why transgenderism is making ground, because you can't stifle from the outside what somebody is thinking on the inside. And so this is really the ultimate fruit of a worldview that has been, and I'm going to use this word purposefully, that has been festering for a very long time. This is a world that I think is feeling the effects of their worldview. I think this is why Gen Zers, in part, are starting to look more and more for something more transcendent. I think this is why Jordan Peterson is so popular right now. He speaks with authority. He speaks articulately. And by the way, he don't speak dumb. And he doesn't look like he's hip and cool. In fact, why does he keep wearing those crazy sport coats? The point is, he's what, 62 years old? Young people are digging him. Why? I think it is in part response to a worldview that doesn't work. They know it doesn't. You just can't make somebody buy everything that is entirely unnatural. You just can't. And I think Gen Zers, there's plenty of people that I think have statistics to back this up. They're starting to read the Bible. They're starting to go to church. They're looking. The only question is, will we help them find it? Let's use the lostness. I don't even know that you can call it postmodernism. It's more like post-truth. That's the era that we live in. Let's show them that there's an anchor, that there's a safe port, that there is a place that isn't flotsam and jetsam, that there is a place where these issues have been decided by the ruler, not by the servants, everybody doing what is right in their own eyes, but by God himself. And I think if we will just share that with people, I think that you would be shocked at how many people are actually interested in it. What a world we live in. Here's something else that I think people are discovering that's just causing them to go, wait, something's broken here. Let me take you to a city council meeting as they open in prayer.
As a priestess of the goddess, I invoke the Gorgonea.
What?
Champions of equality. And
we're invoking the Gorgonea?
Sacred rage. I call to Medusa, monstrous hero of the oppressed and abused. I open the eye of Medusa, the stare that petrifies injustice. I call upon the serpent that rises from this land to face the stars, the movement of wisdom unbound.
Well, you laugh or you cry because this is tragic.
May these leaders find within themselves.
There you have it. Well, see, there you have it right there.
The embodied divine.
And you got divine. You're God. You're God. And by the way, isn't that the original promise in the garden? Isn't that really when the first seed was planted into human minds? We can be divine. What we think, that's reality.
The sacred essence of the spark of the universe and the breath of the Awen.
You know, there's not a progressive that would go, hey, how do you know that? What about your manuscripts? What about all the Satanists that have sexual scandals? You won't hear them say that. Why? Because they're on the same team. And in the meantime, while this is going on, here sits the Christian church. And what are we? Not, believe me, not every church, but so many of the high-profile churches that are trying to reach people in the culture. What are we projecting to them? What are they seeing? Well, here's one megachurch pastor who's trying to get you to subscribe to Pastor Bot.
Okay, I'd love to have my own personal pastor, so I hit the Ron Carpenter Ministries archive and I call Pastor Ron. And after I call Pastor Ron, let's say, you know what? Let's say I'm not feeling good
Pastor
in my body.
Carpenter, how can I help?
Pastor Ron, I'm not.
So it's Pastor Ron speaking to AI Pastor Ron.
I'm not feeling well today. Could you pray for me?
Hey there. I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well. Let's take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you know us and hear us. Right now, I lift up my friend to you. I ask for your healing touch to be upon
you. You'll know more about it? You have to wait. We'll tell you later.
Oh, he couldn't be more thrilled to hear himself talking to himself. And you could tell that was AI, by the way. We just actually had this conversation the other day. This is so crazy. And it's just going to keep getting better and better. We're talking about, it's a book that a booklet, about 20,000 words, Play the Man. It's not out yet. I think we're going to be doing a massive campus invasion in the fall. It's to help young men understand there is a better way than looking at pornography. And there is a way to live that is better. And there is power. in the Holy Spirit to help you to not do that dirty deed anymore. And we were talking about turning it into an audiobook because a lot of people prefer to listen rather than read. And it was like, oh, reading 20,000 words, that's a lot for me because I'm a terrible reader. And they said, no, don't worry. We'll just have somebody read it and then we'll feed AI your voice and it'll sound like you. But if you just use AI without somebody recording it, it sounds like, well, Ron Carpenter. That is what the world sees. AI praying for you for $4.95 a month. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just use AI, dude. Oh, we're back on. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. You're reading a book for Jim Osmond.
I am, yes.
And how much fun are you having?
Not much at all.
Read, you know, but Jimmy, anybody who's listening to this, and I doubt there actually is anybody, they're going, oh, you poor boys. Oh, you have to sit in a studio that's air conditioned and read a book. It must be so horrible. So just know you're being mocked.
I know.
But I'm telling you, it is awful. It is there's more to reading a book, for me anyway. I can't even read my own stuff well. What I write in my voice, because I just want to go off script. There's no shocker there. So I want to embellish on what I already wrote or throw in a snide remark. But you just got to read sentence after sentence the way that it is written.
And it's so different. People write books differently than they speak. And so then you transfer the written word into the same way that it's written. Like you speak it the same way that it's written. And that's not natural.
No, especially when you're doing yourself.
Right.
Because then I have to read, Play the Man is 20,000 words. We think that we are going to, this is what we're thinking right now. It's a 20,000 word booklet. It has illustrations. I think it is uniquely helpful. I think the force of it is just different than I think, at least any of the anti-porn books that I have read. And I think it's going to be helpful, and we want to get it out to students because the first thing it hits is the gospel. Because nothing will make you doubt your salvation more than sexual sin. And pornography most certainly is that. So you're wobbled and you're rocked. And any dude who's been looking at porn is asking, am I really a Christian? So this, it addresses it right up front. And I would love to see a million distributed. I really can't remember. We've distributed 3 or 4 million different evangelistic booklets mm-hmm. over time. The biggest, 4 million.
The biggest question, the DVD.
Yeah, that was a million.
Then What Time is Purple? Twice.
Yeah, so that's, 3 million.
And then The God Puzzle.
That's 4 million.
Yeah.
So if we do this, it would be 5 million. But we're thinking to put it on a card rather than printing the book and put it on a card where people can use their cell phone for the QR code and they can either read it or hear it. Because I think people will get saved from it. And I think that people who are believers who are just in the dumps over their dirty sin, they're going to go, okay, all right, there's a higher road here. And I haven't been able to walk it by myself, but God will take me by the hand and he will see me through and he will help me and he will give me his strength to live a better way. I don't want to turn the gospel into like, wow, all the benefits of the gospel. That's always a danger. But to not tout the benefits, I think is an error because I think it minimizes the gospel to something that is the gospel exclusively defined is forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. But that's not the totality of what the gospel affords an individual. It fixes you, changes you, alters your thinking, corrects it, heals your broken heart, helps you with your emotion, helps you to understand reality. Your software gets rebooted and progressively fixed, and it provides things for you that are they're transcendent. They're just bigger things. And I think that we would do well to start talking about those things because if we do it rightly, there's a way to do it wrongly. We've all heard that. You got a God-shaped hole in your heart, ask Jesus into it, he'll fill it. You tried sex, drugs, rock and roll. We don't need any more of that. But to not let people know, you don't know how awesome Jesus Christ is. Do you know what he will do for you? Do you have any idea what our God does to stoop, to not just save you, but to rescue you? From the wrath of God and from yourself? Do you know what he wants to do with you? He wants to give you everything. I mean, everything. He wants you to experience the fullness of his love. You lack in that? God's the only one who can provide it. You're looking for solace for your soul. All right. Who's a specialist in helping your soul feel right? Who's the expert in that? Jordan Peterson, Carl Jung, Oprah, no, it's not that. Fortune Cookie, no, that's not going to do it. Who would be good at helping our souls feel settled? Hey, the one who made the soul. He's the only one who can satisfy because he's the one who designed you and made you. And this is not to turn the gospel into you got a big empty space and he's going to fill it up. But the reality is he does, doesn't he? Do you remember being out of Christ and now you're in? You feel different, don't you? You're thinking different. You're not where you want to be, but you're not where you were. Only he can do that. And we need to let people know that. It's okay, Jimmy. Do we have like a tone that we can put on this? If I just start talking like a whack here, you can just put like an emergency broadcast system. Yeah. Just beat me up. All right. So this is a bad idea. Here we go. So much for self-control and editing. When you hear politicians speak these days, I don't want to trumpet anybody's name because, you know, it's so sensitive these days. But I just see the level of discourse and I go, Got to bring it up. Got to elevate it. And specifically, the forest fires in California. I saw a tweet from a politician saying that the reason there are forest fires is because of the horrific policies of Governor Newsom. Newsom. Get it? Newsom. And I thought to myself, I'm not a political speechwriter, but it seems that there is a massive opportunity here to show a better worldview in a better way. The environmentalist worldview, which is why they're never going to change their policies. It's grounded in worldview. They're never going to admit wrong or failure because they're more concerned about sea slugs than saving human beings and their homes. That they've just got their priorities totally out of whack. And this would be an opportunity to say, America, we need to talk about our environmental policies. They're hurting people. We're seeing that, aren't we? Homes are burning with an ocean right next to them. And mayors won't let people use ocean water because there's too much salt and it might hurt the plants. Well, maybe it's time to reconsider how we think about the planet and the position of human beings, as opposed to there's a fish that everybody was concerned about, not sea slugs, these little janky fish. Well, we can't do things. We got to make sure. So we're going to just let forests burn. No controlled burns. It's funny. The fires, they won't go to Canada because they stop them in Canada because they're willing to cut down some trees or burn down some trees to keep the fire from jumping from acre to acre to acre. Won't do that in California because of worldview. And it was a chance to elevate the conversation and say, let's talk, America. I think there's a better way. And I think that can be so forceful. And I think the same thing is true with Christianity. And while we haven't been calling people names like Newsom, I think that we've been doing better as the church, if I can talk about the evangelical church in general, at presenting the gospel overall better. And there's still tons of horrible gospel. I mean, tons of horrible gospel presentations. But for those of us who are biblical, I think Ray Comfort has helped so much with this law, gospel. We've made the gospel about the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of sins, being made right with God, being spared from the wrath that is to come. All of that has been awesome advancement of our clarity on the gospel, but I think we can elevate it even higher. Did you know that the Bible explains everything? Did you know that the Bible, having stood the test of time, it will help you to live in a way that causes you to bear more fruit than you can probably bear? That it can change your marriage, it can change your parenting, it can change the way you go to work, it can change the way that you compete in athletics. You're not going to be running around with your arms up, love me, praise me. Everything about you will get corrected by God because his ways are better, they're higher, they're loftier, they're transcendent, they're noble, they're good. Want them? You got to come through Jesus. And here's how you come. Repentance and faith. So we're not going to lose the law. We're not going to lose the gospel. We're not going to lose the centrality of justification when it comes to a gospel proclamation. But maybe, just maybe, we can speak higher and loftier about the gospel without compromising it to show people, oh man, if you're not in Christ, oh, let me tell you the million ways you're just missing out. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.